by the time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell time. Welcome back into the show. Are we buying or selling the last night's game for the Rockies? And I'm not talking about the Rockies as a team. Is that the beginning of the end for Kyle Freeland? That he becomes... He's ultimately not going to be a starting pitcher anymore, and then he's more of a bullpen kind of guy. That's what you see sometimes. Guys get absolutely torched, and then they never really get back to top form mentally, and then they change up their position, essentially, and they're not a starter anymore. Buy or sell, Kyle Freeland can still be a starting pitcher in this league.
It's tough. Probably going to sell it.
You think it's going to dwindle?
Yeah.
That he's going to...
I'll see how he responds next week when he gets another start, but yeah, no, last night was just... That's just terrible. You give up a home run in the first inning. Okay, he bounced back pretty well, and then 8 runs. It's... Ugh.
And that's...
It's hard to get yourself out of that mentally.
Yeah, and do you develop the yips and all that stuff because of an inning like that? You know, that... The next outing for him, which will be probably mid next week... will be a significant one for Kyle Freeland. Buy or sell that if the Broncos stay at 12, and now you're starting to hear this pick up a little more, Michael Penix Jr. is available, or Bo Nix, buy or sell that they should take one of those quarterbacks at 12?
I'm going to sell it because I think for either of those guys, it's a bit of a reach at 12. But we talked about the Raiders maybe looking to go get a guy. Let's say they grab one. You could probably trade back 5-6 spots and still get your guy.
Well, that's I need to know, Angel, like, is Bo Nix and Michael Penix, are they first rounders? Because I keep hearing different stories every day.
I wouldn't say so. I don't know if it's just the media is trying to push. We got to get 5 quarterbacks or 6 quarterbacks in the first round. I think it's crazy that we're even talking 4 right now with the way McCarthy's been going up stocks right now. So, yeah, I think 12 is a bit of a reach, but if you get him down in like 18 to 25,
yeah,
probably, I don't think it's as much of a reach.
Yeah, 18-25, I wouldn't feel like that was a reach. Maybe you got something good out of it. Maybe you got a second rounder out of it, too. Then that would be a really significant move, but I'm just so confused because, you know, Zach told us yesterday from DNVR Broncos that Bo Nix it wouldn't be that crazy that they took him at 12. And I don't think they're going to have to move up to get him. But it's just weird how this changes in the course of 2 months, you know, because right before the national championship game, it was Caleb Williams and Michael Penix Jr. head-to-head, wasn't it? Back-to-back?
Pretty much.
Or, you know, going neck-and-neck, I should say. And then after the national championship game, it was like we were enlightened, me included. You start thinking about that, and then you do add in the injuries. And his stock plummeted for a moment. And then J.J. McCarthy's was kind of whatever, and that started going up. Jaden Daniels is going back up again. I know there's talk about his elbow today, but it's fascinating how, whether it's the media or just coaches talking about these guys, changes it.
Is there any chance that Drake May falls?
I keep hearing that his stock is going down a little bit.
I think it's kind of just, he's good, but he's not Williams or Daniels or I guess JJ at this point.
Right now it feels like, and this is just based on the mocks and everything we've heard, that the stock goes like this. Caleb Williams hasn't moved. He hasn't really budged. Then I say it's either Jaden or JJ. Those are the two guys at 2 or 3. And then, you know, is Drake May still over Nix and Michael Penix Jr.? Or is he dropping now? Because Penix is getting a lot of talk today.
Yeah, and, you know, how much of that is just, oh, he just had a pro day and this is the first time we've seen him in a month or two, or I don't know. Drake May's been pretty high on the draft boards since last year, even the last year's draft, so I could maybe see him slipping out of 3 or out of 4, maybe down to 10, and then do you start trying to get up there at that point if you want Drake May?
Boy, this whole thing is just going to be really interesting. Buy or sell that the grades that we talked about with the NFL when they get the anonymous players grading out, you know, whether it's the cafeteria or the locker rooms or whatever, the coaches, buy or sell that that actually is going to help team facilities. The story came out about the Saints. They're going to move their training camp so that they can renovate their F-graded cafeteria. So are we buying? It feels like this is the first time that we're really seeing teams. Like, Robert Kraft was embarrassed talking about the Patriots facilities. Buying or selling that this is actually going to help the league for the better?
I'm going to buy it, because how do you have bad food service in New Orleans?
Well, is it food, or is it like just the cafeteria? Is it like leaky roofs and stuff? I don't know.
It could be great food, but it's served on a paper plate. It's like, this doesn't look that good.
It's not very, like, the lighting is not very good in there. It's kind of cold. I don't know. Just weird. Or maybe it's too hot.
Yeah, I think this is the second or third year they've been doing these postseason grades. And I think it does have an impact on how teams look at themselves and say, okay, we want to attract a potential free agent, a big guy who, in his previous place, they had a really nice training work facility, or they had really good trainers.
Sure.
We got to make sure we have that here, because that's a priority for him, because maybe he's injury prone. We got to take care of it.
Yeah. I think, and again, this year you're seeing more and more of the owners and GMs coming out saying, we need to fix this. We've got to fix this. It's a competition now.
Well, I mean, the money's there. Should be.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The Saints announced they're moving their 2024 training camp to the University of California, Irvine, to construction of their new cafeteria. They began renovating their cafeteria and weight room in 2023. They received an F- on the NFL Players Association report card about their food services and nutrition, and that was tied for 30th and ranked in last place in the NFL. Yeah, man, let's see if they're going to try to start fixing this thing up. Buy or sell that Carl Anthony Towns is playing game one of the NBA playoffs for the Timberwolves.
Game one?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
I don't think so either. If he's going to be evaluated in 2 more weeks, that's going to put him right on the cusp. And they might wait again, maybe see how first game goes, maybe the second, because they're going to have home court advantage for the first round.
Right. I mean, so, I project them probably finishing 3 at this point.
What I'm amazed with is how there hasn't been much drop-off since Towns went down.
No. We thought it's been weird since that happened. The top 3 have really separated from the rest of the group in the West.
Yeah, it's true. You know, these standings are,
like, the Clippers were right there, and now they're 3-4 games back.
Yeah, it's really tight here. And like I said, this is why tonight's game is so significant, because you can really put some distance. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion at this point, right? It's OKC, Minnesota, and Denver will finish in the top 3.
Yes.
Because the Clippers are 5.5 games back with, what, 8-9 games remaining? Nice. They'd have to pretty much win out, and then they'd need all 3 of those teams to lose out pretty much in order to jump up. Same for the Pelicans and the Mavericks.
Yeah, I think with the West, the most interesting story outside of those top 3 is what the play-in teams are going to look like, because I'm terrified of the play-in games.
The play-in teams are good. Like, they're all teams that could cause some damage. Like, are we done with Golden State? Or do you think that they could still catch fire and win a series?
I worry about their longevity as a team.
How about the Lakers?
No.
You're not worried about them?
No.
I'm not. I just don't like the rest of their pieces. The LeBron and Davis are scary, but, you know, that's it.
The occasional Austin Reeves game, but nothing much else.
Sacramento? Look how far they've dropped.
Yeah, that's a surprising one, because I thought they'd be better. I thought they'd be where OKC is this year. But, I mean, they're still a good team, but maybe they're back 5 or 8 aren't as good.
And then Phoenix, of course, is 7 right now, but that is tight. They're a half a game out.
Where's Dallas?
Dallas is at 6. They're in all the way right now. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They've been hot.
Wild.
Scary. Listen, even though the Nuggets are the champs, and they're probably the favorite because they're the champs, this is great for the NBA. When you look at the Western Conference, I don't think there's any clear-cut team that's just going to take this thing. And this is what the NBA has been trying to get to for a while now.
Well,
thank you, Denver.
If you're the Nuggets and you're talking about the importance of the one seed, do you want that one seed if your possible matchup is Phoenix?
I don't know. Denver tried to toy with that 2 years ago, remember? Didn't know where they wanted to sit. I don't think they didn't really. Was it they wanted to play Portland or didn't want to play Portland? I can't remember. But they were trying probably to kind of finagle that. Malone has been known to do this kind of thing, to mess with it a bit, without us really knowing 100% what he's up to. In the Eastern Conference, is it pretty clear on that side? I mean, is it going to be Boston and a huge shock if they don't get there?
Yeah, it would be a huge shock. I mean, I think Cleveland has a decent shot at maybe going on a run. But outside of them, you know, there's still a lot of question marks with Milwaukee. Who are they since the Doc Rivers move? And is that two-man game of Lillard and Giannis going to really work out and prove successful in the playoffs? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not so sure about Boston either.
Well, Boston's got the one seed. It's already locked up. I mean, I think they're ahead by, what, like 10 or 11 games. Yeah. So they're going to get it. But does that speak to Boston's dominance or a weaker Eastern Conference? There's no question that overall the Western Conference teams are the ones that should scare everybody.
Yeah, it's Boston. 11 games back is Milwaukee. 12 and a half back is New York. And then Cleveland. And then Orlando and Indiana are your top six.
It's funny, in both the Eastern and Western, only one team has not been eliminated, and that's the Brooklyn Nets in the East and the Houston Rockets in the West. And both teams, Brooklyn's going to have a hard time. I think they'll be eliminated with one or two more games here, because they're quite a few games out of this thing, aren't they?
Yeah, they're about 29 games back. Six back from the
10
seed.
Six
is
a lot.
But 9 and 10 are two teams under 500.
Mm-hmm. That's wild. And quite a bit. Like, Atlanta's 34 and 39.
Should the NBA consider a playoff restructure? Like, or it's just the top 16 as is?
Tops, just mix them all together?
Yep.
You know, I've always thought about that, because you're going to have, like, Houston's going to finish maybe with an above 500 record and not get in. Meanwhile, you're going to have, like you said, two teams in the East get in. I don't know. You just reseed at the end, and you don't really even worry about Eastern and Western Conference?
Sure. I mean, you'd have Boston as your overall one seed, and then Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and then Milwaukee.
I think it would change the structure of the season, because, you know, they don't play as many Western Conference crossover games, and they kind of like that familiarity, because you have four games on film for Minnesota. Right. You have, what, two games on film for each Eastern Conference team?
Yes.
Is it that big a deal? If you want it to be more competitive, then that's what you would go for. You basically, if you're the NBA and Adam Silver, how can you not be happy about what's happening in the Western Conference?
Sure.
Because the NBA's knock for years, for the past 20, 30 years, has been there's like two teams and then there's everybody else. It's Spurs, Lakers. It's LeBron, wherever he is, Golden State. And now, recently, it's been a little more opened up.
When LeBron was all in the East.
Yeah.
With Cleveland, Miami, and then back to Cleveland.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's happening in the West is, well, this is what I said would happen 5 years ago. I said, just watch. Enough of these teams are going to get out of the whole let's team up thing. And they're still doing that. Some of them are still doing that. But there's a lot of people that take pride in what they're doing. Like the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets, I think, have bucked a trend here. And I think you're going to start seeing teams do this more. Where let's create, you know, get some organic. Golden State, let's say Golden State, to be fair. Golden State was first.
Yep.
Because they drafted their three guys, their base, Clay and Steph and Draymond Green. And that showed you that you can foster some superstars, man. You can grow these guys up together. You got to have that one standout superstar that they all kind of build around, and that's Steph. Nuggets are doing the same kind of thing, and that's Nikola Jokic. I think it's amazing how those two teams have kind of mirrored each other.
Sure, and then they win the championship, bring in KD, win a couple of more. KD leaves to try to do a super team in Brooklyn, and that falls apart in a hilarious way. And then the last one I can think was Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. That was supposed to be the big super team in the Clippers.
Yeah, and they're going to be, you know, they'll probably finish in out of the play-in for sure. They're 4th and 4th, but I think you're starting to see these teams that all this pairing up, it's not really yielding big-time results. Boston is pretty much homegrown, aren't they?
Yeah, they've made a few trades here and there, but teams like New Orleans, they're a fascinating team because since the Anthony Davis trade, it was Zion, he's our guy, and we built up pieces around him. Dallas is the same way with Luka. They didn't get Kyrie thinking, oh, that's going to be our duo and that's it. They are a full team over there. OKC is a good example of that as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, and you're just, well, OKC, yeah, that's an organic thing right there, man. They're drafting all these guys. And with Boston, they're big too. They were both guys they drafted, right? And then you just keep putting pieces around them. That's what I love to see more. And then they're taking care of those guys, signing them. Because didn't they end up signing Brown to that long-term deal?
Yes.
They got that deal done before the season. That's partly Golden State and partly Denver. And then obviously Boston's going to be in that mix too, because it's like, hey, we have great players. Let's take care of them and build around those two guys. Keep them happy. And then that's kind of what we're seeing with some of the top teams. 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll take a short break. Zach Stevens joined us yesterday from DNVR Broncos. Kind of his thoughts. We'll go back to it because we talked about tanking and whether the Broncos were really fully committed to that. And Zach kind of talked to us about the things that he's learned about this organization so far that might lead him one way or the other as far as thinking goes. We'll talk about that next.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course is in Eaton, Colorado, the Eaton Country Club. They sport some of the best greens in Northern Colorado. Check them out online, eatoncc.net. If you're not a member, you can go to that website and see what upcoming tournaments that they have. And those are, a lot of those are open to the public, so you can check out the golf course for yourself and maybe see if that's going to be your golf home this season. Again, memberships can be found at eatoncc.net. Yesterday, we talked to DNVR Broncos, Broncos insider Zach Stevens, and I've been pretty much maintaining that the Broncos need to be in tank mode and that they are in tank mode. But talking to Zach yesterday, if you didn't catch it, here's what Zach had to say kind of about Sean Payton's philosophy or just how far they're willing to go when it comes to tanking this upcoming season.
I think, you know, Sean Payton, while the Broncos are making some moves that make it seem like a rebuild, I don't think Sean Payton's here to fully tear this team down and make this like a multiple-year rebuild. And so I think that means that they are going to be going after a quarterback in the first round, because right now they have Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci, and that's it on the roster. I just have an extremely hard time believing that is going to be their plan going into the season. And I don't think adding a Carson Wentz or Ryan Tannehill is going to change their plans drastically. So I think that the Broncos might add one of those guys as veteran help, but it is going to be trading up in the draft to get one of these quarterbacks.
All right, there's Zach. I don't love the whole, he's, you know, they've made some moves that make it seem like they're tanking, but I don't know if Sean Payton's really interested in going all the way. And again, that falls back into the problem with the Broncos the last 8 years has been they're not really willing to go all the way in. Now, I'm all right with this team saying we're drafting a quarterback, he's starting day one, and we're going to go make a go of this. I'm all right with that if they get the quarterback. If they don't, then I want the full tank. If they don't start the quarterback either, then I want to embrace the tank. But if you're saying, hey, we think Michael Penix Jr. can come in here and do what Stroud did, or move up and get Jaden Daniels, again, easier said than done, or Bo Nix, then I'm willing to ride with that, see what that looks like. But if you're going to tell me that it's going to be Jarrett Stidham or another free agent signing, and then you do draft a quarterback but he's benched, then I'm tanking. Give me a good pick to surround that quarterback with next year.
Yeah, and you know, Sean, I agree. I don't think Sean Payton's the type to want to just tear it all down and rebuild it, because he's up there in age, and this is probably his last run as a coach, and he wants it to be a good one. He doesn't want to be, you know, how'd your career end, Sean? Oh, well, I went to Denver, and I tried to rebuild it, but we never really didn't really win, so it was kind of just meh. He wants to go out on top, I think. He's that type of coach, so yeah, maybe it's not a full tear-down rebuild. You know, you can see what they do in the draft. What do they do post-June 1st with cuts? Do they try to go get one more big-name guy, whether a receiver or some kind of defensive player or a safety to replace Justin Simmons? But, yeah, and I still wonder about what Patrick Surtain is going to be doing. He's on the team or not.
Yeah. Zach didn't make it sound like Surtain would go anywhere, that he's pretty much next to untouchable. But if you have that opportunity, and if one of the top five teams calls Denver and says, hey, we'd be willing to swap picks with you, throw in Patrick Surtain, then would you do it? And that's the tough part. You probably should.
Swap picks in a early, maybe second round?
Maybe a next year second rounder or something. Mm-hmm. Then you probably should. And as much as I love Patrick Surtain, again, not going the way of the franchise quarterback has done nothing for you over the years. And getting decent defensive players is neat. It's great. But if you don't have the quarterback, it just doesn't work. And I learned that the hard way with Von Miller. That contract turned out, you know, it was good to have Von on the team, but he didn't go win you games. Quarterbacks can win you games. That's what they do now. They can win you games with average rosters.
The trend of the NFL defense isn't building with your corner. It's defensive line and go backwards.
Yeah, I mean, if you can afford that luxury and you get a rookie quarterback and he's on a good deal, then, you know, you can go back to my line of thinking on the four pillars. You know, you strengthen up your two edge guys and you get two corners and away you go. But if you don't have that quarterback, that rookie quarterback, then you can't really get creative on the defensive side. You're seeing more teams trend toward great quarterback. Maybe it's an average roster on the offensive side, but this quarterback's so good, he's making everybody better. And then we're going to load up more defensively. I think that's what the Chargers are trying to do.
Well, at least early on, it's maybe the first 2 years, you see how your quarterback does. If it's a Bryce Young situation or if it's a C.J. Stroud situation, I'd expect the Texans to try to go get a big offensive weapon in the next year or two.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's how you can piece this thing. You just have to get the quarterback thing right. And I know putting him on a bad – the main thing for a quarterback, for a young quarterback, make sure the line is not crappy. If he doesn't have as many weapons – dude, listen, I still stand by this. Wide receivers in the NFL, for the most part, are a dime a dozen. It's all about the right system that you get them in. Yes, there are elite receivers. Tyreek Hill's one of them. There's a few of those guys that they do separate themselves, that they can go make a quarterback better. But most receivers in this game, they're all decent. You just got to get a quarterback that can throw them open, man.
Yeah, and like you said, the O-line's a big important part of that because it could develop bad habits for a young quarterback where you're always on the edge and you're always
throwing
off your back foot. Your feet are never set because you're always scared you're going to get hit or you have to move. Like, look what happened to Sam Darnold. He's almost broken at this point.
He admitted to seeing ghosts his first year, right? And then you went, oh, yikes.
I mean, a guy like Bryce Young is a good recent example because there was even the team has come out and said, yeah, we didn't do a good job putting good things around him. And you're worried about him going into his second year because is he the Bryce Young from college or is he already broken?
Well, and Carolina might have benefited from sitting him last year.
Sure.
I mean, they didn't do any good with him. You know, I know that there would have been frustration in Carolina. Like, hey, we're terrible anyway. Might as well put him out there, but you can
especially
ruin a quarterback.
What CJ did.
Yeah. Well,
and
those two guys,
example.
They're always going to be compared to each other now. CJ did come out and say, Bryce Young is an elite quarterback. He will be an elite quarterback. He's like, I texted him the other day, and I said, hey, don't hang your head, man. There's a reason you're at this level, and you will be at that level again. So I still think Bryce Young has it. It's just, again, this goes back to the product of your environment. If you're drafted into a bad organization that's specifically bad on the offensive side, then that quarterback is learning things the wrong way. And you're right, with a bad offensive line, you're constantly scrambling. You're constantly on the move. You're not setting your feet. You're not practicing setting your feet inside the games. And it just sets up all these bad habits where now you go to another team or whatever, or maybe the line finally does get fixed, but your first reaction is still to take off. First progression, and then I got to move out of this thing.
Yeah, you know, with Mahomes, he's a generational talent. Absolutely, he's the best in the league. But when he first started, he had a great offensive line. And now when he runs around and scrambles, you're terrified of it because he's good at it.
Yeah. Then that's what you want to learn first. You know, you want to be able to be that pocket passer. And not everybody does learn that, you know, first off. But if you can, that's ideally the best. You want to learn how to manipulate the pocket. How can you stay in that pocket, be patient, go through your progressions, And then as you get really comfortable with that, you start getting extremely creative, you know, like a Russell Wilson used to do back in the day. Those kind of guys are very hard to find, as we're seeing. Most of them have certain skill set in this area or another area. And that's, I think that's going to be the key thing for Denver, is to decide, okay, maybe we got a guy at 12. Maybe we moved up and got a guy. Do we want to, is this line, are we confident enough in this line? And it sounds like Sean Payton kind of is, to make a go of this thing.
You know, well, yeah. What's the system in your first year? Are you going to throw the entire playbook at your rookie?
Well, we hear that Sean Payton's system is complicated. So that's why I think there's a lot to believe that, hey, first 10 games, you know, regardless of how the season's going, your rookie's going to sit. And he's going to just learn, and then maybe slowly learn this thing, and then you put him in late.
And I'm not going to give you a top tier wide receiver if you can't execute the system the right way.
Well, yeah, and you're wasting that too. So you want to have film on him. You want to have NFL film on your rookie for sure. But I could see Denver, I guess, you know, with what Zach's saying, if they get the guy and they're in love with that guy, and he wins the job, then yeah, let's get on the the Broncos bus. Let's get on that bandwagon. I still think they should tank. I still think even if you get your quarterback, you should put a piece around him. I think, was it NFL, NFL and ESPN had their Broncos roster listed as one of the worst rosters in the league. That's not like just them throwing stuff against the wall. That's evaluating this talent right now.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you get your rookie, you start and you win 4 or 5 games, be careful where you put the blame on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, the quarterback, we missed again. Or it's, no, the team around him is just not good.
Yeah, you got to give this. It's going to, this year. Well, and Zach also said in that segment that I don't think that Sean's interested in like a multiple year build. And I'm good with that. I think you just need 1 year of just embracing the suck for a little bit. Maybe you start to get better like Chicago did at the end of the season, although they to their quarterback after that. But you just embrace it. Get a top 10 pick again, and then put a, whether that's an offensive lineman or a weapon on the offensive side, or maybe it's a stud defensive player, you get another piece the following year. Plus, you're going to have your second round. It depends on what they end up trading, but right now they would have a second round pick as well. So I think that they still are in tank mode for the year, but I honestly don't see it as being a long-term deal either. That's based on a lot of their contracts. A lot of the contracts they're signing with these guys are 2 to 3 year deals.
Right, and Sean signed a 4 year deal?
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Okay, so you want by year 3 next season to be progress.
Yeah.
At least playoffs.
Yeah, I would say by year 3 with Sean, the pressure will be on whether it's quarterback now, they drafted one this year, or they're going to go draft one next year, and it's Shedeur Sanders or whatever.
It'd be good.
That better be the move, because now we're giving you more time than most. If we're going to give you, because no other Broncos coach since Shanahan got that, everybody else has been gone after a year or two, depending, or I guess 3. I think Fangio made it 3. So you would have to year 3. The pressure is on. Like, we're going to give you this. This is your freebie. This year is, there's no pressure on you. But all the things you do right now in this offseason and in the draft should be leading you to what's going to happen in the 2025 season. 39 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Kristen Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. I want to thank Bruno Lily LeClaire. You do something wrong, or maybe you were wronged. You just need the right kind of defense. You got to talk to Bruno LeClaire. BLL.legal, or you can call them at 720-340-1373. Yeah, again, more on that Rockies thing. The 14 runs allowed, 13 hits, and 18 batters faced in the third inning against the D-backs all represent the most in all categories by a Rockies pitching in a single inning in franchise history. That was courtesy of Thomas Harding. Yikes. I mean, again, it was just historically bad night, you know, and it sucks to follow up the 100 loss season with your very first game out the gates. And not only do you lose big, you get stomped. you're putting up historically low numbers, or high numbers, I guess.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of us expected this team to go out and do the opposite to everybody, but yeah, you can't do that that early. Like I said, early in a game like that, it just it takes it all out of you.
You got
to hype for opening day. You, okay, we're going to have a ball game here. 2-1, we're exchanging runs, we're getting going, settling in. Third inning is when you start to settle into the game. The game's over.
Yeah, I mean, by the time the third inning was done, it was like, oh, please, just
that
mercy.
Almost a half hour.
Yeah, of just awfulness back and forth. So the Rockies go back at it tonight against Arizona, 7:40. It's a busy weekend, Angel. We talked about the Nuggets-Minnesota game. That's a big one in the regular season. Less than 10 games now left for both the Nuggets and the Avalanche. So a big opportunity for the Nuggets to really try to lock down that number one seed. That'll be the big push. Tonight's going to be a great game. You've got, as we mentioned, Rockies, D-backs, and then March Madness is cooking. Some great ones tonight, man. And we'll have games for you on KFKA as well, but this is going to be good. Really looking forward to the late game, 8:09. That one's going to be on TBS, Creighton, and Tennessee.
I kind of like Creighton to get it done there.
Do you really?
Yeah. I like Creighton. I like Duke to win. I would say Gonzaga over Purdue, but I think Purdue's going to get it done. And then NC State, Marquette, probably Marquette. NC State's been on quite of a run the last couple of weeks since their conference tournament, so we'll see.
I have Tennessee beating Creighton tonight, but and then losing to Purdue.
That would be a good game.
Yeah, that would be. There's a lot, so still some good ones to go. So what's getting more of your focus tonight?
Probably the Nuggets.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like I miss the Nuggets. I miss watching them.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch the other game the other night, and it's Friday, so I can stay up a little later and watch this.
Yeah, I'm going to be glued to this one.
So, yeah, I'll have the score updates going for the Rockies. Hopefully don't turn them off in the third inning again. And then probably have some March Madness scores going throughout the weekend as well.
I think I'm excited to see this pitcher for the Rockies, you know? Excited.
You can't be as bad.
No.
So what Kyle did yesterday.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
Please don't.
Do what he did. Do the opposite of what he did. That's your game plan.
Give up 15 in the sixth inning.
Yeah, that would be kind of the opposite. Or don't give up anything.
They didn't have any errors.
I know. That was a positive.
So it's like, okay, you were just bad, not like awfully bad.
Well, your pitcher was just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that what's worse? Your entire team making errors all the time or your pitcher do we even do aces anymore? He's kind of your ace, but I don't know. He was your opening day starter was that bad. I don't know it's probably worse if everybody's committing errors and then you got holes all over the place.
Well, then it's an excuse. That E isn't for errors, it's excuses.
It's excuses. Yeah.
I was like, well, you gave up 15. Well, did you see how many errors we had?
You got to correct it tonight, man. Got to see something better. You got to give. You know what? Everyone's going to keep going at you, and this is you got to take pride. And I don't know. Maybe they don't. Maybe they have pride. They're just not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, baseball's a tough sport, and some of it's luck, some of it's skill. But this team cannot go into opening game at Coors Field next Friday, and they have one or two wins,
which could very well be the case.
Right.
Yeah,
that got to go to Chicago after this.
Yeah, that could be the case. 47 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll get over to what did we learn from the day, from the week that was. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310KFK.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what do you say?
What did we learn on this 29th day of March. But more importantly, what did we learn really throughout the course of the week? I think the main thing this week was, again, just that it was transfer portal madness. You know, that was kind of what I'm taking away from everything that went down. You're seeing teams just absolutely torn apart and decimated by this. And, you know, that's the transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff is working together. And I wonder if they're going to get a handle on this anytime soon. Doesn't seem like it at this point. Oh, Bruce and I were talking about it earlier, Angel, and I said, hey, the government side of thinking here, when this goes to the Supreme Court, it's like a student can transfer, to any can leave and go to any school that he wants, right? He or she wants. They can leave and go. And they're basically saying that should be fair for student athletes as well. And that's, honestly, it sounds fair on paper, doesn't it? And you talk about loyalty, but it is kind of fair.
Yeah, and, you know, for normal college students, it's, do my credits transfer? Does the major I'm majoring in transfer over? If not, then I guess, you know, yeah. But yeah, on paper, it sounds good. And I don't really have a huge problem with the immediate transfers and all that. It's, I'm going to immediately transfer because I'm probably a starter on this team anyway, but I'm going to get more money somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's what it's turning into now. It was supposed to be, hey, I'm transferring because I'm the fourth string quarterback and I think I can battle for the starting job somewhere else, like a Clay Millen, honestly. I mean, not that he's battling for a starting job in Florida, but that was kind of the idea. Now it's, I am Eddie Lampkin and I'm starting here, but I want more money, so I'm going to go elsewhere and start. It's a crazy world. Angel, what'd you learn today? Or this week, rather.
This week, that I don't think the Rockies are as bad as they looked yesterday. Or at least not as bad as Kyle Freeland looked.
And like we said, maybe Kyle Freeland is, you know, on his way down to maybe the bullpen or something.
Yeah, and it's cliche to say, oh, it's only one game out of 162. Yeah, it is. And, you know, they can't sulk on it. They can't sulk on last season. You got to play another game tonight. So go in, win this game, even the series. You get the rubber match on Saturday.
I'm really hoping they win this game for so many reasons, because you could silence the critics quickly. You'd forget about baseball. So that's a long sport. You forget about these monster historical blowouts pretty quickly if you can find a way to win. But if you go out and lose 10-3, yeah, then it's bad news.
If you're doing decent in June, we're not going to be talking about, oh, you remember that game
no.
on March 28th.
Nobody will care, because this happens. Sports, you look at scores across any sport, teams get absolutely smoked. It's just part of the game. You know, the Orioles beat the Angels 11-3. You know, there was a couple of lopsided scores yesterday. The Dodgers beat the Cardinals 7-1. Blue Jays beat the Rays 8-2. Reds beat the Nationals 8-2. The Guardians beat the Athletics 8-0. But I mean, again, it's not like the Rockies are the only team getting blown out. You know, theirs was the worst one.
Yeah, I mean, it happened in one inning.
It happened in one inning, and it was historically bad. But, you know, you don't want to come out the gates too hot, man. You want to, you know, give people a reason to doubt you more. Just play some possum, and just when they think you're dead, boom, you go pull off a win there. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Monday. We'll get you recaps of all things happening from the March Madness world, the Nuggets weekend, the Avs weekend, the Rockies weekend, and so much more. Good night, Northern Colorado.